Hello, everybody. I'm George Myland. This is about the so-called special relationship between the United Kingdom and the United States. It's a phrase which I think has been around since the 1950s. Now, without delving too deep into history, most people will know that there were the 13 colonies. There was sort of English and Welsh colonies. Later, we Irish and the Scots got involved there as well. And there was the American Revolution. So the first Americans were mostly British stock, right? There were Native Americans there already. And there were African Americans who were brought there against their will and suffered terrible, terrible cruelty. Okay, then there's the American Revolution. But often they're saying because, well, you weren't sticking by what you ought to have done, and Magna Carta and so forth was held to be inapplicable in the colonies. Some of these revolutionaries, well, Patrick Henry looked back to Cromwell, to the English Civil War and so forth. And so some of the USA's heritage, particularly its jurisprudence, comes from England in particular, like, you know, Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England. And recently, indeed, that Roe versus Wade judgment, with the Supreme Court roughly or correctly overturned it, and they cited English medieval precedents. But anyway, so relations weren't always good between the USA and the United Kingdom after them. There was obviously the War of 1812, the late 19th century, border disputes regarding Canada, which was very much part of the British Empire at the time, regarding the Caribbean and so on. The USA was able to get what it wanted, the so-called Aroostook War, 42-50 or fight, and the United Kingdom backing down because it realized it couldn't defend Canada, British North America, as it might have called it. It's only from the First World War, the Second World War onwards, that things drew closer. The USA decided not to retreat into isolationism after the end of the Second World War. Fortunately, Churchill had a fairly good relationship with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Nothing like as warm as the newsreels led people to believe, because it wouldn't do for people to realize there were actually tensions and disagreements between them. Churchill obviously was American on his mother's side. The first British Prime Minister to address Congress and saying, if it was his father rather than his mother being American, he might have got here on my own, leading to the guffaws of laughter and cheering. He could have claimed substantive American citizenship. Indeed, when his daughter started having an affair with the American ambassador to the Court of St. James, who was married himself, Churchill was informed by MI5 and said he was pleased that she was doing everything she possibly could to improve the Atlantic relationship. And she was married herself at the time. But so NATO was founded. The United States came into it. The United States joined the United Nations. The UK was very glad about that because, as Roosevelt correctly said, Britain was financially through for a very long time, lost a quarter of its national wealth, really diminished in status, and then the empire was soon being dissolved. So the Marshall Plan, giving loads of money to the UK more than any other country, that was very important for the United Kingdom. But then because of the United States was in favor of decolonization, not its own colonies so much, but partly to get access to markets they hadn't full access to before. Then the UK took the fateful decision to develop nuclear weapons. That was under the Labour government just after the Second World War, even though Britain was almost broke. But the USA had refused to share nuclear weapons technology, even though in the Second World War, the UK had given what was then a British Empire project all its data about nuclear arms to the USA. Only the United States had the resources to finish off. It was Australian, Canadian, as well as British scientists who had been working on it. But later on, relations got better, and then the UK's got its own nuclear deterrent, but they apparently could only fire it with American permission and US military bases in the United Kingdom. The UK was very keen for that to happen. They thought there could be a Third World War, and there's no way the United Kingdom could stand against the Soviet Union. Even all the European NATO countries together, it's doubtful that they could defeat the Soviet Union. One thing is, Britain had even considered fighting on against the Soviet Union right after the Second World War, Operation Unthinkable, releasing German prisoners of war to fight. So that was the so-called special relationship. And one of the reasons for Churchill didn't want the United Kingdom to join the European Economic Community, which was founded in 1957, and okay, he wasn't PM by them, the European Coal and Steel Community, 1951, which led to that, is he said, we're with Europe, but not of it, and blah, blah, blah. Thought that Britain was a part of three groups, Europe, as in the Atlantic, linking with the USA, and then the Empire, and believing the British Empire had a long way yet to run. So that's why it didn't want to integrate. Goodness. So there's up there the very blatant point, share a language. Now, that's not a big deal now, but something like 20% of the world's population can speak a language. This is the English language. And obviously, the higher you go socioeconomically, educationally, the higher that percentage is. But if you go back to, say, the 1940s, it was a much, much lower percentage. Okay, In Ireland, Great Britain, USA, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, those are probably the only English majority speaking countries in the world. Even countries where today everyone can speak English, somewhere like Zimbabwe or Kenya, it was much, much lower because education hadn't spread so much. Even in Cyprus, even in the 1980s, I remember reading some Cypriots who couldn't speak English at all. And in the mainland Europe, you know, Germany or the Netherlands, a little bit into English, but almost nobody learning it even as a second language. So that's obviously far less important than it once was. Remember what Bismarck said in the late 1890s, that the defining feature of the 20th century, the defining factor will be that North Americans speak English. It gave them some sort of sympathy for the United Kingdom, which they might not otherwise have felt. Goodness, and obviously they got common law. But in some ways, then there's actually not that in common, because the USA was always ethnically diverse because they had the Native American people and African Americans. The United Kingdom became ethnically diverse over the late 20th century after the Windrush generation wasn't to begin with. And the United States is so much, much bigger. So the special relationship might be special to the UK. It's not very special in the United States. It's almost never mentioned. And so many American politicians say they've got no truer friend than Israel. Well, bend over backwards for Israel. The United Kingdom fought alongside the Americans in Korea. Was disappointed there wasn't even American diplomatic support over Suez. That's why the UK didn't send any troops to Vietnam. A Royal Naval sailor told me that the Royal Navy bombarded North Vietnam once, but he might have been spinning me a yarn. Never seen that recorded anywhere else. And the United States pushing for decolonization, which not everyone in the United Kingdom was happy about. So where else are British troops been alongside the Americans? Obviously Iraq, Afghanistan. I'm not sure where else I'm forgetting. So despite doing all this to try and be helpful, or Margaret Thatcher allowing President Reagan in the 1980s to use British military bases to launch airstrikes on Libya, hasn't got the gratitude back. And some politicians in America even were against the UK's territorial integrity. Some of even cheerleaders for terrorism in Northern Ireland. There they were opposing democracy, at the same time supporting illegal occupation and oppression in Palestine. So the hypocrisy of it is revolting. Goodness. So the UK does everything and doesn't get very much back in return. Now, George Galloway, not someone I agree with very much, but I remember him saying about the so-called special relationship, this is Monica to Bill. You might remember when Bill Clinton, president of the USA, 1993-2001, had an affair with a 22-year-old intern, Monica Lewinsky, and she was giving him oral in the Oval Office. As in, is a completely unequal relationship. There are these unequal treaties whereby Britons can be very easily extradited to the United States. Americans, is almost impossible to extradite them to the United Kingdom. So you see the imbalance, the injustice there, and that was agreed to by the Blair government, not surprisingly. So in some ways, yeah, there are very different countries, and the USA has got more and more a share of the world economy. The UK is overregulated, overtaxed. That's a problem, quite different on various things. I mean, you know, there are guns everywhere in the United States. The UK hardly any guns. The USA is the land of the car. United Kingdom is more towards public transport and renewable energy. So there's striking dissimilarities. The relationship is not that special. And people say, oh, it'll get worse under Obama because he's half Kenyan and his father was anti-British. I'm not sure that's true, actually. And, you know, and Trump, despite him being half British, his mother even born in the United Kingdom, and is a soft spot for North Britain in particular, has not been that helpful. People have been very worried about that. Boris Johnson, the first Prime Minister of the UK to be originally an American citizen, born in New York to British parents, renounced his American citizenship some years ago. He said very high-mindedly, to show total commitment to the United Kingdom, ulterior motive to avoid paying American tax. US citizens anywhere in the world have to pay tax to the federal government if they earn over a certain amount. The special relationship, I suppose, is not really that special. I mean, I suppose it's not as terrible as some countries. What do you think? Should the United Kingdom do more? Should the USA do more? Was there ever a special relationship? Was it a delusion? And there's some people on the far left in the United Kingdom who are very hostile to the USA. And there's some Americans who despise Britishers. I suppose some reactionaries in the UK were quite conceited. They couldn't take it. The United States is way more powerful than them. You know, the United States is somewhere I used to find quite attractive. So you can consider about going to study there. I wouldn't though now. It just got worse and worse in my lifetime. All right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecallan7 at gmail.com. Goodbye.